The Daily Ding is brought to you by Game Time, your new go-to app for the best deals on last-minute tickets. Did you know NBA ticket prices tend to drop right before the game starts? Game Time tracks prices in real time from thousands of trusted sellers, then shows you all the best last-minute deals with prices up to 60% off. More than 12 million fans have downloaded the Game Time app and discovered the fastest, easiest way to get into the game. My favorite feature, you can get tickets in two taps, a two-tap checkout. That's efficiency. That's how you're supposed to do it in the NBA. Two taps gets you tickets, gets you checked out, and you're ready to go to the game every single time. So head to the App Store or Google Play Store now to download Game Time and score awesome deals on last-minute tickets.
Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I'm happy that there's emotion, you know. It would suck to play when, you know, nobody's cheering or booing, so it's kind of cool, and I like it. Whatever it is, if it's emotion, it's good.
You know, I could try Spanish, but I ain't really that good at Spanish.
This is how it goes. When I hoop, I have no friends.
One Tyler know his ass should have got thrown out. If I was a ref, I would have tossed his ass. How dare you?
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Friday morning. We've got all your NBA action from Thursday night and everything basketball to take you into the weekend. I'm Zach Harper, joined by Mo Doc Hill with Rob Lopez breaking out the hoodies. Coming out on today's Daily Ding, Carmelo Anthony has a new home. Kristaps Porzingis returns to the Garden. And we sort of get a Trae Young, Devin Booker showdown. But first, Paul George is officially a Clipper, Mo. I mean, he's been a Clipper, but he finally played in a Clipper game. Pelicans 132, Clippers 127 in New Orleans. Paul George is back. 14 points in the first 9 minutes of action. He finishes with 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He's 10 of 17 from the field, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. Did have 5 fouls before the fourth quarter and turned it over 5 times, but did not foul out. No Patrick Beverley, no Kawhi Leonard. It was a knee injury management with Kawhi Leonard. So no longer load management. We're now saying a left knee injury management. And Lou Williams got the start. He was great. 31 points, 8 assists. Montrezl Harrell got the start. He had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. But Mo, Drew Holiday in this one was killer. Cool. He hadn't scored 20 points all season. 36 in this one. 7 assists, 6 steals, 4 rebounds, 7 turnovers. Mo, we've been waiting for this Drew Holiday.
I mean, this is the guy we've been expecting all along, right? Like, when we kept talking about, well, the Pelicans are going to be so good. Besides everybody they got Drew Holiday. He's going to be great. You know, all that stuff. And then he put up duds for quite a while. Then finally just kind of broke through. This is, like you said, this is the Holiday we've been waiting for, right in time for the Holiday season.
Oh, boy. Paul George, man, he looked good, right? Like, Paul George looked good. It wasn't enough to get them a win, and the Clippers fall to 7-5, but they don't seem, you know, with all the load management, injury management, and all that stuff, they don't seem too concerned with everything. I think they just want to get everyone rolling in the same direction. But what did you see out of PG in this one?
I mean, it's just so smooth, especially those 14 points to start out the game. Like, just walking into things very easily, didn't really seem to miss a beat. We saw where he struggled and where the rust was defensively, picking up a lot of fouls and some of the turnovers and things like that. And he'll get better with that. But really, he just picked up the scoring like as if he's just been around all season and it's nothing to him. So it was pretty impressive to see in that sense. Like you said, not enough to get the win, though.
Yeah, not enough to get the win. By the way, Pelicans, they had a bunch of guys out. No Brandon Ingram, no Lonzo Ball, no Zion Williamson, obviously. They still managed to pull out the victory. Derek Favors, 2020 game, had 9 offensive rebounds. He was just a bully. Like, that's the Derek Favors that I remember, you know, coming into the league where it's like, oh, this guy's just bigger than everybody. He's mean and everything. And he was a bully tonight. They brought Zubats off the bench. They tried to, you know, kind of get a little smaller, get a little more active with Montrezl Harrell. And just, you know, Montrez was good, but Derek Favors was just better in this game.
And this is kind of the Clippers' Achilles heel, right, is their size. And a lot of games, it's going to feel like they have a size disadvantage. And, I mean, we saw it with Favors. You're saying it. He was a bully the whole way through. I mean, and we've seen it in other games down the stretch where, you know, you have a big guy, you can really do some damage against this team. Because, look, man, as good as Montrezl Harrell is, he's not very big. You know, you can still push him around in the paint and things like that. You can put them in situations where they have a really outsized rebounding disadvantage like they did tonight. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like it was
19 offensive rebounds.
I mean,
19 offensive rebounds to the Pelicans.
You can't win a lot of games. You do that, period. Yeah. Doesn't matter anything else. Doesn't matter if Paul George has 40. You're not going to win a lot of games. You give up 19 offensive rebounds. Plain and simple.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Frank Jackson, big game off the bench for the Pelicans. He had 23 points, 9 of 14 shooting. Feel like he's really playing well so far this season, and especially as of late.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of continuing everything they're going. You know, these guys have a lot of injuries, so it's opening up the door for a lot of other guys to get going. You know, you said it, no Ball, no Ingram, no Hart. You know, the next man up kind of mentality is kind of what you got to go through, especially early in the season, because you can't even call up a 10-day guy. You know, it's so right. early, you just got to go with the guys you got. And that opens the door for opportunities for guys like Frank Jackson to really get going, or Etuan Moore to step up a bit.
Yeah, J.J. Redick had 19 points in this one. Etuan Moore had 15. Pelicans, 18 of 35 from deep. Clippers want to be a defensive team. We talk about the potential defensively, and granted, they missed a lot of guys in this game, but you got to be better than giving up 18 three-pointers on 35 attempts to the Pelicans. 16 turnovers on the night for the Clippers. Rodney Magruder did have 20 off the bench. Terrence Mann received a start, but the Clippers, again, that defense, 72 points allowed in the first half, gave up 132 overall. And they were bullied inside. They were bullied outside. Paul George, great return, fun moments, great, great production. And they got a lot out of Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell in starts where they don't normally get it. But Clippers fall to 7-5, and the Pelicans serve some home court. Ever wonder how to get the hottest kicks on the market, the ones that barely hit the shelves? The answer is StockX, a revolutionary new marketplace for buying and selling 100% authentic sneakers, streetwear, watches, handbags, whatever you want. It's what all the experts have been using for a long time. All the hypebeasts, that's how they get all their stuff. You can get it right now. Millions are already using StockX to find everything after it sells out, from the latest Yeezys, retro Jordans, hottest streetwear from brands like Supreme, Bape, Palace, Kith, all the good ones. Me personally, I've got my eye on some Confetti Kyrie 4s, and oh my God, the price, you can track it the whole time. You know what's going up. You know what's going down. When it goes down, you throw in your offer, you go and get it. Couldn't be easier to use. And the great thing about them, you know everything's authentic. They ensure authenticity. Every item bought or sold on StockX is carefully inspected by hand to ensure it's 100% legit. Their experts go above and beyond to make sure you never get burned by fakes. Absolutely never. They've removed all the risk from buying and selling online. Now you can get the hottest, hardest to find kicks without having to deal with a random buyer or seller ever again. Don't ever go to Craigslist ever again for these kicks. Want to get in on the hype? Check out StockX.com/bball for a surprise offer. Trust me, that offer is really good, but you got to go to StockX.com/bball for a surprise offer that won't be around too long. That's StockX.com/bball. Check it out today. Well, let's go to the other big game of the night. Denver Nuggets 101. Brooklyn Nets 93 in Denver, the Mile High City. Boy, this is the exact matchup you would expect, because this Denver Nuggets team this year, Mo, they like to get down early and come back. The Nets, they like to get up early and give the lead away. That's 100% what happened in this game. They're down big in the first half. Again, they go into another half. I believe the Nuggets have now gone into eight half times this season, trailing, which that wasn't really the case last year. But here's the thing, Mo, they're 6-2 in those games. It's a great strategy. I
mean, they're playing with fire, man. You can survive on it now, but you took two Jokic back-to-back game winners. The Suns having a very weird ending in regulation where they fouled the guy. You know, I mean, we're very close to it being a now I have to do math on the fly, so this is going to be quick. 3-5 in that stretch. So hopefully that's the correct math. But it's dangerous game they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Charles Barkley talked about this at halftime, where he's like, someone needs to tell the Nuggets that this isn't last year, right? Like, of that, and you know, and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny, to a certain extent, were trying to say, like, look, man, like, they're playing the Nets. It's not a big deal. And Chuck's response was, they're not playing against the Nets. Like, they're playing in this game, but like, they got to keep up with the Clippers, the Lakers, like the Rockets, like all these teams. You have to be better than this. And so it feels like we keep admonishing the Nuggets after wins, and they keep winning these games. So that, like, that's a skill, right, Mo? Like, to keep winning these ugly close games, like, it's a skill. But you're right, like, they might be playing with fire just a little too much.
Right. I mean, it's a good thing to have. You want to be able to go through adversity, know that you can do this and come back. But the problem is, if you constantly rely on the fact that, like, it's all right, man, we're down by 10, we're down by 15, we're going to come back in the second half, no big deal. You know, it's not a problem until you're not able to come back, right? You don't know the switch doesn't work until you flip it and the light doesn't come on. So I think that's the situation they're going to run themselves into. And you're getting away with it early when also a lot of teams are still figuring out, you know, their rotations, and they have the most continuity compared to other teams. So, you know, it's easier for them to find that end of game rhythm that they've had last year, whereas this year other teams are still looking for that. So they're getting away with it now, but I'll be interested to see what that looks like down the stretch. And just karmically too, this stuff tends to even out. So if you're really good at it in the regular season, I'd be curious to see how it goes in the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. The Nets, no Caris LeVert in this one. Thumb surgery. We'll update you on that in a bit. 38% from the field, 21% from deep. They were 24% from the field in the fourth quarter and 22% overall in the second half. I mean, they just could not buy a bucket. I don't know if that was the altitude. I don't know if that's Denver's defense is that good. I don't know if it was everything. Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and Kyrie Irving all had 17 apiece. Nikola Jokic had 18. Paul Millsap had 18. He had a flurry of scoring towards the end of the first half that kind of evened the Nuggets out a little bit. Kyrie finished 17, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Jared Allen, 17 points, 10 rebounds. Spencer Dinwiddie had 17 off the bench, but was just 1 of 7 from 3. There was a moment where we almost witnessed a bad crime where Jeremy Grant, Mo, he tried to end somebody. He tried to end, who was it, Gary Harris? He tried to end Gary Harris.
That would be his own teammate. He tried to end Joe Harris.
Sorry. Yeah. Joe Harris.
But I still think it was a crime. It was an attempted murder. That's still a crime. Last time I checked the law book. And I think that's something we got to pay attention to. But I mean, he almost ended the game right there. So
it would have had to, everyone would have gone home. I mean, they would have given, you know, witness testimony to the authorities, and then everyone would have gone home. It would have been a lot like the movie Snake Eyes, right? Arena full of people witness a crime. Everyone's got to give a statement until they're allowed to leave.
Just a very, very long night in Denver.
Very long night. Paul Millsap, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Nikola Jokic, 18 points, 10 rebounds. Will Barton had 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Nuggets out-rebounded the Nets by 11 in that game, had 7 more assists. It feels weird criticizing the Nuggets as they continue to win games, but it does feel a little bit like they're playing with a bit of fire, as Mo said. All right, let's get to the news that you need to know for Friday and the rest of the weekend. Caris LeVert, as you mentioned, out with thumb surgery. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks to repair ligaments in his right thumb after he underwent surgery on Thursday. Other injury news, Atlanta Hawks guard Kevin Huerter has a left rotator cuff strain. With an associated shoulder capsule strain. The team announced he'll be re-examined in 2 weeks. The Hawks dealing with another loss. And then Carmelo Anthony, the big news, the surprise news Thursday night, Carmelo Anthony agrees to a non-guaranteed deal with the Portland Trailblazers. ESPN reported it. Portland visits Carmelo's old team in Houston on Monday night, so we get a little spiciness there. To discuss this further, let's bring on Trey Kirby from the No Dunks podcast right here on The Athletic to talk about the Carmelo Anthony to Portland signing. Big news in the NBA world, and with the Portland Trailblazers signing Carmelo Anthony on a non-guaranteed deal, according to ESPN. So, of course, I bring in the biggest bucket getter I know, Trey Kirby of the No Dunks podcast, coming on for 5 minutes to talk about this deal. Trey, how surprised are you that Carmelo Anthony is back in the NBA?
Shocked enough that when I saw the message come through that Melo was really coming back, I was just excited. I hit you, Skeets, with a yes, with several S's. You know, we knew that the Blazers needed some sort of help, but I don't think anybody really was super serious about Carmelo Anthony actually being that guy. But I imagine this deal must have started formulating last night against the Raptors. Pascal Siakam cooks Mario Hezonja twice.
Yeah.
Hezonja can't figure out what he's doing. So he's like, all right, I just got to lay off him a little bit. Siakam pops a stand-up three right in his face. Hezonja's shaking his head. So I imagine Damian Lillard, Neil Olshey said, we got to do something. Get the Melo funk.
Someone's got to come in. It's got to be Melo. So as we know, Zach Collins is hurt. Yusuf Nurkic is hurt. Hezonja hasn't been the answer. Tolliver hasn't been the answer. Nasir Little is a rookie. They're not going to rely on him too much, if at all. They've played Rodney Hood big a little bit. But, you know, I think you would look at this and say, hey, Portland needs to fix their defense. Carmelo, not a defensive guy. But at a certain point, you just need a body who's respectable, right? And whether that's been Melo the last couple of years or not, he does seem like the best just complete basketball player out there in terms of rebounding, scoring, whatever.
Yeah, when you think complete basketball player, Carmelo is the first name.
It's like him or Kenneth Faried, right, at this point. I guess I'd rather take Melo because he can shoot.
Yeah, serious five-tool players out there. But you know, like you're saying, Melo is going to take up a spot. He's going to be a human body out there that is doing the right thing, that knows how to play professional NBA basketball. You know, I figured you asked me on, like you said, because I'm a big bucket getter. I know you're a big bucket getter, so forget about the defense. They're not playing defense anyways. It's not like Hezonja, Tolliver, Scalabissiere are shutdown guys. At least Melo can go out there, hopefully score some baskets for the Portland Trail Blazers and take a little bit of the load off of Damian Lillard. The guy is balling out, but we saw last night against the Raptors that he was looking a little bit tired in that game. He's got a massive load to carry for the Blazers this year. So anything that helps take that off his shoulders is a win for them, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I wrote about this for The Athletic on Thursday where, look, Portland struggled and offensively they're pretty okay for the most part. Like Dame has been spectacular and I don't know how much you can expect him to do, especially we just had him put up 60 and lose, right? So it's not like he's not doing enough. You know, McCollum struggled, obviously the defense struggles. And so I had the idea in there of like maybe they need to try to trade for someone like Kevin Love or something along those lines, just because if you're going to go this way, you may as well go a bunch of offense instead of giving up picks or expiring contracts or whatever. They say, all right, we'll try, like you said, we'll pick up the Melo phone and we'll see if that's enough offense. Just in terms of what we've seen out of him the last 2 years, he hasn't been great, right? He hasn't been great at making shots. He's really bogged things down. But in terms of what Portland needs and what they're going for here, do you think he still has something left?
Does Melo have something left? I like
something good. I should clarify. Does he have something good left?
Well, he's still got the pump fake. You know, he's got the pump fake and the jab step. So as long as he's got those, he'll at least be able to, I assume, score some baskets. And, you know, just the fact that even if he is playing isolation ball, even if he is playing Melo ball, if he's able to sop up possessions and get a few buckets, even if it looks ugly, even if it's not super efficient, that's still probably better than what the Blazers have been doing. They need a shot in the arm. Maybe bringing back a guy that has a lot of respect around the league is the right answer. I don't know if having Melo and Hassan Whiteside in the locker room is exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, no.
But, you know, if Melo's committed to making one last run in the NBA, going out on his terms, I think it's worth giving him a shot to do that.
So on No Dunks, you guys have been, you know, chronicling the real estate of Wiggins Island, and I, you know, I appreciate it. I'm wrapped into every conversation about Wiggins Island, but Hezonja Island. I'm also a resident of Hezonja Island. I have dual citizenship. It's not looking great for Hezonja Island and the other like maybe three people on there. What is he just kind of done, or is it better to relegate him to kind of a reserve role and then just hope that he can find a couple of minutes here and there that sparks it?
I think the reserve role is the right move. On Wednesday night, he was out there looking like a villain from a National Lampoon movie, shaking his head. And I couldn't believe that this was a guy pitched to us as a player who could win a slam dunk and a three-point contest.
Yeah.
Now he's playing small ball four. He just hasn't seemed to find the right spot in the NBA. Maybe playing 12 minutes a night and hopefully scoring 4.5 points a game on a three-pointer is what it is.
Last question for you. Do we expect Melo to stay with the Blazers the rest of the season?
It's a good question. Non-guaranteed deal. He's there to hopefully make good on it. Maybe it's a Dwight Howard situation, playing great for the Lakers on a non-guaranteed deal. Plus, you know, it rains 300 days a year in Portland. That's 300 hats for Melo. I wouldn't count out a long stay for him.
I didn't even think of that. It's a big hat situation for him, right? Like he's back.
Oh, the hats are back. Melo's back. Posts on blogs are back. This is going to be huge for the content industry.
update your tumblers, get ready to blog about it. Trey Kirby, no dunks. Listen to it every morning. Click follow on the notifications. Subscribe on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you can find podcasts. Check out No Dunks. Trey, thanks so much. And you know, shooting sleeves and hoodies forever.
That's 100% right, Zach. Thanks, y'all, for having me. Ding, ding.
Thanks again to Trey Kirby of the No Dunks podcast. Make sure you check out the latest episode. You follow their podcast within the Athletic app. That way you get new notifications. You can hear what every guy on the No Dunks podcast with Skeets, with Tass, with Lee, with Trey have to say about the Carmelo Anthony signing. All right, Mo, let's get to the rest of the games from Thursday night. Miami Heat 108, Cavs 97 in Cleveland. Miami jumped out to a huge lead in this one. They were up by 24 at halftime. They led by as many as 27 in this game. A 25-8 run in the second quarter kind of blew this one wide open. In that second half, Kevin Love scored 13 of his 21 points. Darius Garland scored 11 of his, 11 points to make this closer than it actually seemed. Love finished with 21, 10, and 4 steals. But Kendrick Nunn, too much in this one. 23 points, 8 assists, 5 boards to lead the Heat. Bam Adebayo, 16 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. Tyler Hero had 16 off the bench. Ugly game, though. 37 combined turnovers between the two clubs, and they were evenly distributed, too. Justice Winslow missed the game with a concussion. Bucks 124, Bulls 115 in Milwaukee. Decisive 32-20 third quarter from the Bucks helped them take control of this one. The third quarter Bucks are back in a good way. Bulls stuck in it for the most part, wouldn't really go away till the end. Giannis with another ridiculous stat line, 38 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, did have 5 turnovers and was just 11 of 20 from the free throw line. Eric Bledsoe, 31 points on 12 of 14 shooting, had 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. Wes Matthews got to the free throw line 13 times on his way to 15 points. Bucks had 22 turnovers and shot 18% from three in this one. For the Bulls, Kobe White is on fire, absolutely on fire. 26 points off the bench, went 6 of 13 from deep, also had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Zach LaVine had 25 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, lead the starters of the Bulls. Lauri Markkanen, tough game, 11 points on just 2 of 9 shooting. The Bulls also 20-plus turnovers in this one. Oh, Mo. Knicks 106, Mavs 103 in New York. This is going to sound like I'm being rude. I do not mean this pejoratively. This was the Knicks championship this last week. Now, they had absolutely all that garbage, right? They had all that garbage of the Steve Mills stuff, the David Fizdale stuff, and all that, right? Except sandwiched between that were two slices of bread of them beating Kristaps Porzingis. Chance of KP sucks. KP sucks. Kristaps Porzingis, welcome back to the Garden. Madison Square Garden for his first time since the trade. He was booed mercilessly. He did have 20 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks. He had a big dunk, but he had that one big L, Mo, 7 of 17 from the field. Tried to draw a charge against Julius Randle. He flopped. They didn't get the call. Go ahead, bucket instead for Randle. Then he missed a jumper against Randle the next time down the floor. Marcus Morris Sr., I don't know why we're throwing senior on the end of his name, but that's what he wants to be called now, led the Knicks to 20 points and hit the big three-pointer to put them up. But, Mo, this is not what Kristaps, you know, kind of foresaw happening against the lowly, lowly Knicks this last week.
No way. I mean, he was at least confident they'd get one win out of the two. And, I mean, the Garden brought the energy, as I think expecting. I mean, they were brutal and vicious, you know, and you know, to see that reaction, I just kind of wonder if the fans might be happy. If they don't win another game all season, at least their two of their wins came against KP. They might walk away a bit happy.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't tell you, like, I'm not trolling Knicks fans at all. Like, I believe this was almost cathartic, right? Like, it united them to just, like, you know what? We loved Kristaps for a while, but then he wanted to be traded. He doesn't want to be one of us anymore. Screw him. Let's just boo him. We beat him last week. Oh, they beat him tonight. Like, they don't have a lot to cheer for in New York, right? Like, they're just waiting for the bad stuff to keep happening. So, like, legitimately, a good thing happened tonight.
I mean, unfortunately, it happened on mid-November, and the season doesn't end till April. And right. I feel like tough there's stretch. Just a whole lot more stuff going to be a come.
Tough 4-month stretch for sure. But yeah, man, but you know what? Yuck it up.
Always think of this night. always think of this night, New York. Knicks fans, think of this night. November 14th, you're able to beat Porzingis, a team that may or may not make the playoffs. You know, wait, just hold strong with that one, guys. Keep that in your heart.
There you go. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists for Julius Randle, 16 and 8 for Mitchell Robinson off the bench before he fouled out. Revenge game for Dennis Smith Jr., 13 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds off the bench. Luka Doncic was amazing. 33 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 3 steals, but the Mavs just 8 of 36 from downtown in this one. And then last game for you, Suns 128, Hawks 112. The Suns continue to win. The Trae Young, Devin Booker showdown we all expected basically turned into the Kelly Oubre show. He was doing push-ups at one point. He finished with 30 points, extremely active all over the floor, chipped in 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 10 of 18 from the field, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. Devin Booker had a good game, 27 points, 7 assists, did have 7 turnovers, but he was fantastic for the Suns. Dario Saric had 23, Frank Kaminsky had 19. For the Hawks, Trae Young, 21 points, 13 assists, but 5 turnovers in the game. Alex Lynn with 21 and 10 off the bench. Jabari Parker led the Hawks with 24 points, but the Hawks, 22 turnovers. They shot just 25.8% from deep. Our own Gina Mazzella of The Athletic reminded us the Suns win their 7th game in this one. Mo, last year when they won their 7th game, December 17th. This
wow.
is what we call progress. Let's go to the lines of the night. Paul George, 33-9-4 in his return. Drew Holiday, 36-7-6-4-7. That sounds like a locker combination in the win over the Clippers. Giannis had 38-16-4. Luka Doncic was the triple-double. Who gets your line of the night?
I'm going to throw this actually out to Frank Kaminsky with 19 points. I can't give it to guys that have as many turnovers as Drew Holiday and Giannis had. You guys got to do a better job protecting the ball. But Frank Kaminsky, who basically most of us left for dead, 6-9 shooting, 3-5 from 3, 19 points, plus 29 in a total of 30 minutes played for the Suns. I'm going with him, man.
I'm not giving my line of the night to anyone with stats. I'm giving it to Knicks fans for chanting, KP sucks, KP sucks, KP sucks is the line of the night. Again, they're not going to have much this year. Let's let them have it. Let's let them rejoice. And then, you know, next week we'll kill them for being the Knicks. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We still got Back to Back with Nerdist, She Wrote. You can check out Mo there. We've got No Dunks. We've got Tampering. We got House of Strauss, plus over a dozen team-specific shows available from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. Click follow on the app for all those shows. You get notifications for new episodes. And if you're not a member of The Athletic, you're in luck. Just go to theathletic.com/dings. You can get 40% off an annual subscription. You never know when those promos are going to end. So go there and subscribe right now. Thanks to Mo Dakhil. Thanks to Rob Lopez. Thanks to Trey Kirby. Thanks for waking up with us. Take your medicine. Get ready for the weekend. Call in sick to work if you want. Give yourself a 3-day weekend. And Mo, hit me with that sign off.
Ding, ding.